Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Back to school means back to school athletics for lots of kids. Proud parents scramble from work to sit in the stands and cheer them on, no matter if they're the star or the bench warmer. But we are learning the hard way that the long-term impact of concussions on young brains, whether the child plays seventh grade football or varsity football and anything in between, and whether or not he or she warms the bench or plays every minute of every game. According to a recent study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a concussion sends students to the emergency room every 5 minutes in the United States. Now, concussion experts here in Columbus have updated an existing program to better tackle the problem. Nationwide Children's Hospital unveiled its concussion toolkit to help coaches identify the signs and symptoms on the field and also teach parents, teachers, and administrators what to look for and how to respond off the field. Joining me now to talk about the toolkit is Stevie Karzu. She is a certified athletic trainer at Nationwide Children's Sports Medicine and a member of the group of specialists who developed the kit. Welcome to the show, Stevie.
Thanks for having me.
Question for our listeners. Has your son or daughter suffered from a sports-related concussion? How has their case been handled in the school? How have teachers and administrators responded to them during school time? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And by the way, you don't have to name the school. In fact, we ask you not to name the school on the air. That's not really germane. It's more about your personal experience and maybe what we can learn from it. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. So, Stevie, there was a concussions in the classroom program that you developed in previous years, and you used it last year, I know. What's the difference between that and this?
So the concussions in the classroom program was specifically designed for teachers to help them help kids in the classroom. And that was a great program, but we realized we really wanted to bring a comprehensive educational piece for everybody involved. So the toolkit includes concussions in the classroom and actually includes a second edition that's updated with some other things that teachers can use. But it also includes pieces for the athletes, a handout for, you know, student athletes that they can read that's short and sweet, a piece for the parents, a piece for the coaches, and then a piece for school administrators to figure out how do we communicate about concussions, you know, pulling in all of our resources, using the nurses, the teachers, the athletic trainer if the school has one, the parents, the physician if needed. So now we have five pieces as part of this toolkit that allow us to educate everybody involved. And whoever's looking for information can go and be like, I'm a parent. I'm going to read the parent piece. And they can look at the other ones, but everything they need to know is in the parent piece, which is nice. So it's a really one-stop shopping, as we like to put it, where you can find everything you really need to know about a concussion and how to manage one, how to take care of one, how to help a student athlete recover from one, all in one place.
And by the way, we'll post a link to that on our website at wosu.org/allsides. That's a lot of categories of people to put together. Mm-hmm. And one of the underpinnings of this whole thing is the idea that everybody's on the same page. Mm-hmm. How do you get everybody together and make sure they're on the same page?
It can be difficult at times. And the reason it's so important for everybody to be on the same page is so that we're getting an overall picture of how the student athlete is healing and if they're healing and if they're telling different parties different things. So getting everybody on the same page just comes down to really good communication, making sure that the parents and the student athlete are invested into the process and then that they're letting the school know, you know, what does the doctor say? Are there any recommendations for school? You know, and then the teachers knowing those recommendations, understanding those recommendations, and working with those recommendations, and then knowing if they're confused, who do they go to? You know, do they go to administrator? Do they go to the guidance counselor? So it outlines the communication process so that everybody can be on the same page. And the communication can be face-to-face. It can be via email, secure email. Since it is a medical condition, we want to make sure that, you know, that's kept private. So, but secure email would be fine. And, you know, private conversation. So when the teachers get a chance, but that administrator piece really helps to outline each school will be different, but that helps to outline how do we communicate, who's responsible for what, and go from there in managing the student.
Once again, my guest is Stevie Karzu. She is certified athletic trainer for Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine. And we're talking about a new concept they've unveiled this year. It is the Nationwide Children's Hospital Concussion Toolkit. It's intended to sort of kind of help the village, help the student. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Has your son or daughter suffered from a sports-related concussion? And we want to know how their case has been handled in their school and how the teachers and administrators have responded to them during school. Tell us your story. We don't need to know the name of the school, though. 614-292-8513. So good communication. Where does the buck stop on this? Who do you envision being responsible for making sure everybody's getting the information?
That's a decision that every school has to take into account for itself. Every school district is different, and even between a middle and a high school, it's different. So in one place, the school nurse might be the best person to kind of manage and to get everybody on the same page. And another, a lot of school nurses now aren't at the schools full time. They're responsible for a few schools. So maybe it's the guidance counselor who's there and he can be responsible for everything. In smaller districts, maybe the school psychologist is willing to take a very large role in managing that and be kind of the management leader is what we call them in the toolkit. So the nice part is our toolkit and the administrator piece, it outlines the possibilities, but it doesn't pin you into one or another because we realize every school is going to have different resources and different abilities to respond to these types of problems. So it's really once the school district gets the framework, they have the flexibility and the freedom to put that into play however they think will work for them.
But no matter what, there needs to be somebody somebody making it all connect.
Absolutely. So that it helps the student get better faster, and it helps the school district make sure that the parents, you know, realize that that they're taking the child's concussion, you know, seriously if it needs to be. And it also can take some of the liability off of the school district, because unfortunately there have been some cases where parents have gone and sued the school district because they were not academically accommodated, you know, and had long-term concussion issues. Now, I'll be clear, most concussions heal within a couple weeks, and the kids don't need academic accommodations or need very little. But there are some that take, you know, months and even years where they really need some help in school.
And those are the repetitive ones, too.
Yes.
Where you have a slight concussion and then you get hit again, mm-hmm. and it might in and of itself be a slight concussion again, but on top of the other one, it changes everything.
Yeah. Or if they're very close together, it's that can make symptoms a lot worse. And every kid's different. That's the other hard thing, too. You know, it would be nice if we could hand them a cookbook and say, this is exactly what you do, step one, two, and three with every kid, but it's going to be different for every kid because every brain's different and they're growing, which makes it even more complicated.
Marie in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Hi, Anne. Great show that you have.
Thank you.
I just want to say I think it's great that you guys have the toolkit now. My son actually had, he does still have post-concussion syndrome. And he was in a Catholic school, elementary and high school, had concussions in playing elementary sports, you know, basketball, football, whatever, and then went to high school, freshman football, had a significant concussion, ended up missing 2 years of school because of it. Anyway, long story short, I'm glad to hear that you guys are Nationwide's doing this now because nobody believed us. They just thought I was this crazy mom.
I wondered how did the school respond to your concerns?
Basically, they made us disenroll. It was the Catholic school system. We had because he missed so much school because he'd have these tremendous headaches. You know, he'd get to school and he'd be only last a period and a half, two periods, and then they'd have to call me, come and get him. And it was significant enough that he passed out several times in school. But after, you know, 3 months of him not showing up to school, they needed to disenroll him because he didn't meet the number of days attendance. We had to go to public.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It really makes you wonder how many kids have fallen through the cracks over the years.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Probably a lot. And again, this was back in the early 2003 to 2005. And most of the docs even, it was a sports med doc, Dr. Sickles here, Max Sports Medicine, that actually recognized what he had and was able to get us to Dr. Bornstein here in Columbus to do research studies on kids with concussions. So I know that we helped along the way to help you guys with your toolkit. It was great in that perspective, but it was very frustrating for my son. And again, he still has issues, and I think long-term he'll have issues with his memory and those type of things. He can't remember his left from right sometimes, just in general, you know, quick response. So there is some, I know not every kid suffers that, but he definitely did.
Yeah.
He played. So
I think that that's definitely, we're seeing a change in what everybody knows and what everybody has learned about concussions. And back even in the early 2000s, which doesn't seem like that long ago,
exactly,
we did not know what we know now. So I think that part of our mission with Children's is, and with this toolkit, is to let's make everybody aware of what can happen, you know, in the worst case, you experienced with your son. And that way we're prepared for it in case it does happen.
Well, one of the things I do want to share is what was really hard is the school. Because he looks normal and he didn't have this big bandage on his head.
Right.
You know, he wasn't a cancer kid, and I'm not using that being derogatory, but because you couldn't tell he was sick, people thought he was faking.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really suffering. So that's what the other part that's so hard, I think.
And you know, and ironically, it's that you talk about that in the literature, the emotional pressure of not meeting, getting your assignments done, not doing well on tests, struggling with school. That is in and of itself harmful to a child mm-hmm. who has a concussion.
Yeah, the stress can it's hard for them to heal.
I'm glad to hear that there was some college out of UCS, I didn't say in the wrong school, Southern California.
Mm-hmm, USC.
A guy actually quit playing football, but he was talking about the emotional side of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, that was the hardest part as a mother, mm-hmm. was the emotional side, because my son would be crying 1 minute. I mean, here's a strapping boy crying 1 minute and wanting to kill somebody the next minute because he couldn't control his emotion.
Yeah.
Because of the meds that they stuck them on, trying to alleviate the headaches. And there's a lot to a concussion that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we didn't do anything about it. So anyway, I appreciate the fact that you guys have come this far and that hopefully some kids won't get concussions and won't play sports.
Yeah.
Especially contact
sports. Or at least they go into it knowing what the risks are.
Absolutely. So. Well, and then there's a plan in place to take care of them if it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to see them come up with better helmets for all the young kids. You know, I really do think that that's part of it, but I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, Marie, thanks for your call. The helmets,
thank you.
It is an interesting issue. Thanks again, Marie. I think there was a story in the Dispatch recently about maybe Upper Arlington thinking about upgrading their helmets. Not every school district can afford to do that. Most districts have them reconditioned mm-hmm. every couple years.
You have to,
Is that something you want to check on as a parent?
Yeah, you have to get your helmet reconditioned within the manufacturer guidelines, just because that way it's within warranty. Now, there is a huge warning on that side of the helmet that says it cannot prevent a concussion. And that's the hard thing, is that helmets were designed to prevent skull fractures. That's why they all came about, because back in the day when they played football without helmets, you know, people died from skull fractures. The helmets do a great job preventing the skull fractures, but they don't do a good job preventing a concussion necessarily, because the brain's floating around in the skull. Now, they help. They help, absolutely. So, and keeping them well maintained, if they have air in the air bladders, making sure that those are adjusted regularly and within every couple days as the temperature and air pressures change, that will definitely help. But because your brain is floating around in fluid inside your skull, that's not the helmet on the outside of your head isn't necessarily going to protect your brain from moving around on the inside if you get hit very hard. So helmets are important, but they're not the be-all, end-all. You know, it also comes to technique and sportsmanship, too, for preventing concussions. You know, make sure that they're hitting properly and things like that. We're talking about football.
My guest is Stevie Carzu. She's a certified athletic trainer for Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine. She's one of a group of people who have developed Nationwide Children's Hospital's Concussion Toolkit. It's intended to help coaches, everyone from the coaches to the teachers, parents, administrators, counselors, school nurses, work together to prevent further damage from concussions once a kid has been diagnosed with one. When we return, we're going to talk to a school counselor, and later on, we're going to also hear from a physician at Nationwide Children's Hospital to talk about student-athlete concussions. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Iran's got the UN's nuclear inspectors going in circles over one site in particular, Parchin, where they suspect Tehran tested blasts with uranium metal.
It would be as close to a smoking gun of an Iranian nuclear weapons program as we're likely to find.
I'm Neil Conan. What we know and don't know about Iran's nuclear program, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 to 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 59 degrees with sunshine, warming up to a high near 80 today. Clear skies tonight and a low of 54. Another nice day for Wednesday, sunny and a high of 84 degrees. Support for 89.7 comes from Be Dry Waterproofing. With a patented system that stops groundwater from entering a home's foundation, protecting more than 250,000 homeowners since 1958. More information at 1-800-563-BE-DRY or bedry.com. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The long-term effects of concussions have been most notably brought to light by the NFL Players Association and its demands for better reporting after a recent study in the journal Neurology noted that former NFL players are unusually prone to dying from degenerative brain disease. But we don't have to wait until our children are NFL material to address the same sorts of brain injuries that occur in school sports. While coaches used to say a kid simply got his or her bell rung, they're singing a different tune these days. And so are teachers, counselors, and others involved in a student's well-being. Still with us is Stevie Carzu. She's a certified athletic trainer at Nationwide Children's Sports Medicine and a member of a group of specialists there who have developed a new concussion toolkit to help coaches, parents, teachers, and administrators understand what to look for and how to respond on and off the field. Stevie, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Also joining us now is Xenia Strickland. She's the director of guidance at Bishop Reedy High School in Columbus, where the entire staff has been trained to help look for problems stemming from concussions. Xenia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I mentioned earlier in the show, it's something like every 5 minutes a kid is diagnosed with a concussion in the United States. And I was wondering, at any given time, roughly how many students are walking around high school there recovering from a concussion?
We do have several students who, especially during the wrestling, the football season, even during the ice skating season, we can have two students, sometimes up to five students. It just depends. It'll just depend on the time frame. There, we really kind of have to see what we've got to work with. We don't really have a actual number. It's just
Obviously it ebbs and flows.
Absolutely, and some sports are rougher than others, and some are maybe not even sport related.
Right, exactly. And also some, I was going to ask earlier, not every one of the concussions is related to a rough sport. I mean, sometimes a kid can fall in cross country.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. It's not necessarily hockey, football, soccer, lacrosse, the usuals. When and why did the folks at Bishop Reedy start training the staff on this issue?
Because we have had several students who have been affected with concussions. We have had several students last year, especially. I've been here for 4 years now, and I've seen an increase, I think, of concussion. I don't know if it's the concussion itself or us knowing about the concussion or about the diagnosis of such. So we have seen an increase of it, and we understand that it's happening, and we understand that it affects the student and the learning, and so we needed to make sure that the teachers knew that what we're asking of them is to be accommodating in this transitional period where they're needing time to heal from the concussion.
We heard from a mother a little while ago, Maria from Clintonville, who said the teachers thought her kid was faking it.
Yes.
And that's got to be pretty rough on a parent.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that all of our Reedy staff is very helpful and accommodating with all of our students. Generally speaking, if we tell them that the student has had a head injury or a concussion, and we give them the specified accommodations, they too sometimes come back to us and say, well, you know what, this we found is working better. I had a talk with them or her, and this is working better for them. So they're very helpful in helping with these students. Of course, it just takes a different staff. We just want to make sure that everyone is well aware of these issues, and that we don't have any students who are faking this. It's real, and they need recovery time. And our staff here at Reedy, we've been very fortunate. They're very accommodating.
My kid has 7 or 8 different teachers. Mm-hmm. He's a high schooler. If you're counting study hall, that is. And so how do you get that many people on the same page, especially with just a day or two notice sometimes?
We always start out with email. And the psychologist and I both have the freedom. You know, we have a little more leeway in terms of walking up to the teacher. So we do start with the email, then we follow up and see teachers and talk to them. If they have any questions, they come to us. But our teachers are pretty good about checking the email and asking any questions. So that's generally how we get the word out to them.
Stevie Carzu, parents, especially of older children, usually only see their kids on the field of game, you know, in competition. But there are plenty of opportunities for something to go wrong at practice, too, right? Are there enough eyes on the athletes then?
There are. I mean, usually the coaches are all there. And if the school has an athletic trainer, the athletic trainer's around, though they might not actually be watching practice at the time. But the schools train their coaches, make sure that they're aware of symptoms of a concussion and that they know how to identify one. And then if the athletic trainer is there, you know, if they're suspicious, they can send them right off. And if they don't have an athletic trainer, say it's a middle school, they can contact the parent and they can do the right thing, which is pull them out until they get evaluated by a medical professional like an athletic trainer or physician that makes the call. And yes, they do have one, or no, they're okay to play. That's the most important part.
Rick in Grandview, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hi. Thank you for addressing the issue.
You're welcome.
It sounds like you're very much on top of helping the student and dealing with symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how much education is being done with the high school athletic association. We had a soccer player injured 2 weeks ago. The game was 8-0, 2 minutes left, and one of the other players plowed into the goalie. There was no point in it at all. And I attribute it a lot to the referees not being trained or not being on top of the games getting rough,
mm-hmm.
excessively rough. They don't set a tone for the kids that this is what's going to be tolerated and no more.
That's an interesting point, Rick. I'm not sure whether Stevie Carzu or Xenia Strickland can talk about that. Piece of the puzzle. Xenia, any sense about how it's managed at that level?
It sounds like you're asking more so training on terms of like the referees getting trained so that they can manage they can manage the roughness of the game. Is that what you're...
To prevent the injuries in the first place.
Right.
Or at least lessen the odds.
And
sometimes it's just two players running into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've had a couple volleyball concussions from kids, from the ball being served, and the kids get hit in the back of the head. I mean, I don't think there's a lot you can do about mm-hmm. that.
That's an accident, right.
Yeah.
But the refereeing of games, in soccer at least, they're mm-hmm. allowed to play like football players.
Yeah.
And there was one card given in this game, if you're familiar with mm-hmm. soccer, and it was because a kid talked back to the referee.
Mm-hmm. Stevie Carzu?
Yeah. So the OHSAA has trained all of their officials to recognize concussions now, which is nice because if the official is suspicious that an athlete has a concussion and they have not come out of the game, the official can pull that athlete, and that athlete may not return to that competition without a signed release form from a physician, which is great. So if the official sees something, then they can pull them, which is fantastic if, you know, for instance, the coach happens to miss it or somebody else happens to miss it. But in terms of sportsmanship and officiating, it is very, very important that the kids are playing with good sportsmanship and that they are using good technique and that they're not, you know, recklessly plunging into, you know, an activity that could cause an injury. But, you know, the referees obviously do play a little bit of a role in setting the tone of how the game's played, so that, you know, there is a mixture there of the athletes being responsible athletes and having good sportsmanship and using good technique, and then the officials officiating the games well, so that accidents don't happen. Because bottom line, most of this stuff is accidental. It could have been prevented, but a lot of it's accidental.
Rick, thanks for your call. I hope your daughter recovers very quickly.
Oh, it's not. It wasn't my child.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
But it's. I don't understand. I'm sorry. It's not clear to me that you're working with the Athletic Association, or how much communication there is there.
Oh,
the Ohio
absolutely.
High School Athletic Association?
Ohio High School has communication with medical professionals throughout the state. So about how they create their concussion policy, which can be found on their website, as well as how they train coaches and officials on concussion recognition management and preventative things. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I believe I was speaking to a coach earlier, and the coach told me that they were trained to identify concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a starting point.
I have the Ohio High School Athletic Association implementation of playing rules changes related to concussion and concussed athletes and return to play protocol. This just changed in 2011. They defined the parameters to guide the officials and medical personnel. They've also defined who's responsible for administering the new rule, and what role the coaches play and what role the contest officials play in it. So it looks like this is pretty new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Stevie?
Ever-evolving.
Thanks a lot, Rick, for your call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, take care. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about concussions and student-athletes with Xenia Strickland. She's director of guidance at Bishop Reedy High School, and also Stevie Carzu. She's a certified athletic trainer for Nationwide Children's Hospital's sports medicine program. They've started a new program. A group of specialists there have developed a new concussion toolkit. It's intended to help everyone from coaches to parents, teachers, and administrators understand what to look for and how to respond on and off the field when a child is, I guess it's called been concussed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a question or comment, want to share your story, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Homework and tests are a problem, Xenia Strickland.
Mm-hmm.
How does the staff prioritize those tasks when a student's been concussed? How do you decide what needs to be done, or how to change, or how do you modify?
First of all, we make sure that the student has good amount of time to recover. So our first plan of action is to follow the physician's recommendations. We also work with the nurse and the parents and the students to find out how much they feel that they can do. So we do have a tool. It's a website that they can access from home to find homework. If they feel that they can get some of that done, their notes are placed on there, as well as some of the homework, or all of the homework, I should say. And when the student returns, we address the tests that will work in testing the standards and the abilities. Now, we modify by allowing the student, first of all, to come back to school to study. We don't just bring them into the class and expect them to do everything. So we work with the student in terms of how much they can take on. So when we're talking about testing, we allow the student for extended time. We allow them to start a test if they can't finish it. We allow them to come after school, or maybe break it up into parts of it to finish it at their discretion. We do, before testing, we do make sure that they're ready and that they feel like they can actually test on the content, because sometimes they completely forget and they need to be refreshed and study. So our modification is working with the student in terms of what they feel they are ready to do. We extend the time. We shorten the time frames for them. We give them breaks. And some of the work maybe that might be considered something just to check for understanding, mm-hmm. that work might not necessarily be asked of them.
When I come back from vacation after a week, it's almost depressing sometimes, all the emails. It's stressful to be away from work and see it pile up. Yes. It's just emotionally stressful, particularly for a kid and particularly for a kid who cares about their academic work. Where do the school psychologists come in? Where do the counselors come in actually dealing with the emotional aspects, not only of the concussion, but of, you know, dealing with this extra pressure, which in and of itself can be harmful?
Yeah, and they call it the anxiety. It becomes anxiety or stressful for them. We work with the student. We sit with them. We always give them the opportunity to come into guidance, which is the psychologist and I, and sit with us in terms of planning out what work we want them to focus on first. So we do break it up for them. We do give them an opportunity to come in and meet with us so that we can talk about their test or talk about how much they feel they can tackle on. So we are usually sitting with them beforehand and during the process, if the teachers feel that the student is overwhelmed. And the parents are pretty good about letting us know as well if their student is really anxious about it and needs more help, more assistance because they are, you know, being very stressed out. But like I said, our teachers are really good about communicating with the parent, the student, and the guidance staff in terms of what we need to do with the student so we don't overwhelm them.
Paula in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about my daughter who was injured last year at her high school in gym class. So she was not an athlete, but they were playing a game in class that they call Mad Ball, mm-hmm. which is a combination as I understand it, of kickball and dodgeball. Uh-huh. So they do hurl the balls pretty hard at each other to get them out. And what happened was that the ball they were using was a volleyball, which is very hard. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. she was hit on one side of the head. She said she felt it on the other side of her head. She was stunned for a few seconds, couldn't see. She recognized all the symptoms because 2 years before she was in a car accident and had a concussion then. Mm-hmm. So she was diagnosed this time again with a concussion and whiplash. It was an accident, as you mentioned earlier. Nobody meant to do it. The kid who hit her was extremely apologetic and felt really bad. But our concerns and what we let the principal know was, one, that particular kind of ball was used at all for that particular game, mm-hmm. but also that the gym teacher, his response was really inappropriate.
How did he respond?
He rolled his eyes. Another child had to take Michaela and say, she needs to go to the nurse. I need to take her to the nurse. He rolled his eyes, said, okay, go. We let the principal know, my husband did, wrote a sternly but appropriately worded email about what was going on, the concern about the ball and the way the teacher responded. We got a wonderful response from the principal who apologized on behalf of the school and the teacher. When she went back to school, she stayed home almost a full week. And when she went back to school, the teacher did approach her and he said, I'm sorry you were hurt. Which was not the same thing as I'm sorry it happened or I'm sorry for my part in it. But he also it was very apparent to her that he didn't
get it.
Didn't get it.
Let me ask you, Xenia, we've been talking about coaches and that sort of thing. What about teachers? What about gym teachers? There's a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, they don't let them do trampolines anymore like the olden days and, you know, when I was in school. But there's still, you know, accidents do happen.
Right. And, you know, our gym teacher was in that meeting that we all had to be educated about the concussions. You know, I haven't spoke with her yet in terms of, you know, these accidents that happen. She is well aware of concussions, and she is well aware of what kind of, you know, activities or, you know, could be more dangerous. My guess is that, you know, if she was trained in this, she would, you know, be a little more careful about, you know, should we be playing this particular activity? I don't know that that's an activity that's played in our gym here. Mm-hmm. I know that other schools have had dodgeball or madball. I hadn't heard of it that way. but I think as we educators become more educated about concussions, I think we're going to start thinking about, you know, what preventative kind of, you know, things can we do to prevent these injuries, mm-hmm. such as, you know, a ball, you know, what kind of ball can we use for this particular game? Mm-hmm. So that is something, you know, that I don't think a lot of, you know, it's the preventative stuff. You know, are we thinking about that?
Paula, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your call. Take care.
Thanks very much.
Yep, take care. And Xenia Strickland, thanks mm-hmm. for joining us as well. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Xenia Strickland, she's Director of Guidance at Bishop Reedy High School. We'll continue our conversation about concussed high school students or any student that gets hurt and suffers a concussion through sports or gym or anything. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we're joined by an extraordinarily cute 11-week-old puppy who is about to be trained to do extraordinary work as a search and rescue dog. We talk with the founder of the University of Pennsylvania's new Working Dog Center, Dr. Cynthia Otto. She worked with dogs at Ground Zero. And we'll meet the center's training director, Anne-Marie D'Angelo. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon. This is 89.7 NPR News. Stay with us at 11 o'clock for Tech Tuesday with a preview of the iPhone 5 and much more. That's Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon right here on 89.7 NPR News. 64 degrees with sunshine and a high of 80 today. Clear skies tonight, a low of 54. Sunny and a high of 84 on Wednesday. Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation in supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org. And All Sides continues right here on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Back to school means back to school athletics, and kids play hard out there these days, and they can pay for it for years to come. We're learning the hard way that long-term impact of concussions, about the long-term impact of concussions on young brains. Still with us is Stevie Carzu. She's a certified athletic trainer at Nationwide Children's Sports Medicine and a member of a group of specialists there who have developed a new concussion toolkit to help coaches, parents, teachers, and administrators understand what to look for and how to respond on and off the field. We'll have a link to that for you at wosu.org/allsides. We're now also joined by Dr. Thomas Pommering. He's the director of Nationwide Children's Hospital's Sports Medicine Department. He's also team physician at Grandview Heights High School. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pommering.
Thanks, Ann. Very glad to be here.
One of the questions that came up has to do with the Educator's Guide to Concussions in the Classroom. It's in part of the Nationwide Toolkit. There's a series of questions, one of which is about the doctor's role and the sort of communication you may or may not get from your doctor and how it may differ among physicians. It says that some of them may provide little or no details about the concussion, and that in that case, educators should still help to determine if the student needs academic assistance, and if so, what. That appears to me to be a bit laissez-faire. Shouldn't the school administrators expect a thorough explanation from a physician or seek a second opinion?
Well, I think certainly education is key for concussion, and I think that we're in the process of even educating our own colleagues about the advances in concussion and what our recommendations are for treatment. So I think it may be variable on what patients hear or learn from their first introduction to the medical system about concussion. It may be, you know, an urgent care or an ER where things are kind of fast-paced, and their real role there is to protect the kids and make sure they don't have a more serious injury. But hopefully as they get connected with someone who has an expertise in concussion, they'll get all that information that they need. I know that that's what we do at Children's. So
it's okay. I mean, if the school is pressing for more information, well, what do you mean? I mean, be more specific, because we were talking earlier with Stevie, every case is different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for sure, in order for us to give these kids the kind of care they need, not just at the time of their concussion, but during the period of recovery, we definitely need really excellent lines of communication. Everyone needs to be on the same page about what is expected and what's going on. And so schools should feel free to reach back out to the physician who's sending them documentation or who can provide them with information about what to do in the classroom setting.
And Dr. Pomeroy makes a great point. At Children's, we do, the physicians, if they need academic accommodations, they will give them a note for the schools with a list of those accommodations. But, you know, there's also the challenge of the physician will direct the accommodations and give the general, you know, reduced workload, untimed tests, half days of school. But the school's job is to interpret what does reduced workload mean. You know, the physician doesn't know what the child's curriculum might be. So the school has to kind of meet the physician halfway if they're getting those recommendations, and then work with what the physician directs them. The physician can't give them, you know, every, you know, single, you can read two pages at a time. You know, they can't go to that extent. But we're hoping as more doctors are getting educated that they're getting those recommendations out there as well.
This is a case of you can't have too much information out there. You can't have too many people know about what the kid's going through. But I wondered, are there ever parents, Dr. Pomeroy and Stevie Carzu, that don't want to necessarily participate, that don't want everybody to know about their child's case? They want to keep it private.
I think for kids who are having difficulties in school, that by and large most parents want us to communicate with the schools, mm-hmm. to help these accommodations get started, because the kids are really in the middle. They're trying to recover from their concussion. They're trying to keep up with a really busy school curriculum. So I haven't really found that to be the case. Most parents will really want us to help out and be involved in that aspect.
And Dr. Pomeroy, you're a team physician for Grandview Heights High School, so you're at these games. There was a caller early on that was concerned about officials and how they're managing at the outset to prevent it in the first place. Are you comfortable that the officials are getting enough information these days?
Well, I think the officials are getting that process for educating officials to recognize somebody on the field that doesn't look right. I mean, that process is ongoing and improving. I think it's really difficult, though, to ask someone who may have no medical training at all to really be able to pick up every kid who looks funny or looks a little bit unusual. They have to realize that the team physicians are on the sidelines watching these kids, the athletic trainers, the coaches. So there are quite a few sets of eyes watching these athletes. And if somebody looks like they're not doing well, most of the time they get pulled right out. The kids that sort of sneak through that system are the ones that are usually they're kind of intentionally not wanting us to know they're having difficulties. And again, that's an educational process that we want these athletes to know, that it's not okay to stay on the field when you're having headache or dizziness or nausea, that you need to, you know, get off the sidelines and let us take a look at you. So that's always an ongoing process for us.
Right. I mean, you're dealing with an age group that thinks they're never gonna die. Stevie, when you're on the sidelines and you have concerns about one of the players, what are you talking to them about? What are you saying to them on the sidelines?
So when we're looking at them, we're concerned they have a concussion. We're explaining to them that it's not worth playing through it. There's a couple of reasons. Number one, if they get hit in the head again before that concussion heals, they could suffer second impact syndrome, which is an immediate response by the brain. It swells, and they could actually collapse and die after that
happens. And you're telling them this at the time.
We tell them this at the time. And hopefully at my school, we definitely do the concussion talk where we educate them in preseason, and we remind them a couple times a year. If you're getting the headache, the dizziness, the nausea after you've been hit in the head, tell us. But we remind them about that. And we also tell them that if they continue playing now, that puts the rest of their season potentially in jeopardy, even in the rest of their career. So it's better that we pull them out, sit them out, get them better now in the short term in favor of the long term and them returning to sports. Because most kids, as long as they're managed properly, most kids' concussions will heal. They'll get back into their sports and they won't have any further issues.
You know, I remember when I was in driver's ed, one of the most impressive things that I saw was the car smashed up after, an auto accident. I remember when I was a smoker, the most impressive thing I saw was the black lungs. How do you, Dr. Pomering, convince this age group that this is something they really need to be serious about?
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, when they come in with a broken arm or something that they can see with their eyes, it's very tangible. Where concussion really is a brain injury, and even though, you know, programs like yours and the rest of the media have really given us a great platform to talk about this so much better than we could 10 years ago to coaches and families and patients, it's still, you know, I think concussion is almost ubiquitous now. You hear it all the time, but people need to understand it's a brain injury. So, you know, talking to them about things such as Stevie mentioned, like second impact syndrome, about educating them about what concussions are and what to expect and why we're concerned about them and how we, you know, treat them and let people go back to play or not go back to play in some cases is really important.
We have a tweet from Christina. It's kind of a basic question, Dr. Pomering, but it goes to the issue of what people don't know. And she says, what can you do now to help a concussion? I thought there was still nothing, but don't let them sleep.
Yeah, so that is a really great question. So there's a couple things you need to think about. One is at the time of the injury, if you think someone is concussed, it's really, really important to get them out of that contest. Take them out of harm's way, whether it's football, soccer, whatever sport they're participating in. We really don't want them to get hit again while they're concussed. So that's number one. And the sort of the rule of thumb is when in doubt, sit them out. And then after that, it's, you know, really getting your child in to see someone who has experience with concussions who can, one, educate everybody, two, you know, look for signs or symptoms that may indicate that it's a more serious injury. And then after that, it's really cognitive and physical rest and time. We can treat specific symptoms if they're significant, you know, if they're bad enough that they're impairing their ability to learn or sleep or function with their families and friends. But a lot of it is just rest and protection and letting them know what to expect and next so they don't go out and do something they're not supposed to do.
Pulling the plug on all the electronics.
Yeah, you know, we tell them, I kind of kid with my patients and I tell them, I'm going to make you live like a monk for a week or so. All the things you live for, like your TV time, video games, computer time, unless it's really necessary for school, we're going to cut that out because it can make your concussion symptoms last longer.
And I think also in response to that tweet, after somebody got a concussion, you used to say, well, don't let them go to sleep. And that's actually not the case anymore. Research has shown us that we can let them go to sleep. Now, obviously, immediately after injury, you do want to keep a close eye on them for maybe an hour or two. But what the brain needs then is rest and, you know, the quiet, dark room with no noise. And they can go to sleep. That's okay. As long as they're not showing any warning signs, you know, like unequal pupils, projectile vomiting, you know, passing out, stuff like that, that they would need to be immediately examined for. But beyond those 2 hours after injury, you can let them go to sleep because that's what they need. They need the mental rest.
And we'll post a link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. It's a link to nationwide with all the information like that that you might be interested in reading about. Dr. Pomering, I mentioned earlier something, the statistic from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about every 5 minutes in the United States, another child is referred to an emergency room or diagnosed with a concussion, which is pretty shocking. And someone asked earlier, is it just because there's better diagnosis? And I imagine that's part of the equation. Can you tell us why we know more about concussions now than we did even 12 years ago?
Yeah, I think that it definitely is better awareness among the public, and certainly, you know, through media outlets and through just advances in medicine for concussion and disseminating that information better to all of the medical folks who take care of concussion, I think it's really made people more aware of it. They think about it more. And really also, I think the culture about how we treat concussions in athletics has changed tremendously in the last decade. It's now okay to talk about it. It's okay to protect these kids and start to initiate treatment as opposed to some of the old attitudes towards, you know, it's just a dinger or suck it up, you'll be fine, or I had a bunch of these when I was a kid. So that's really it helped us out tremendously.
Is there a technology that's played a role at all, brain scans, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's the technology that we probably use the most in the office and the training rooms are going to be some of our computer-based or paper-based neurocognitive testing that allows us to just kind of get a peek into the brain and see how it's functioning. Imaging has improved, but still imaging is not necessary to make the diagnosis of concussion. We use it to look for other injuries that may be potentially more serious. But I think just having a standard set of guidelines on how we treat everybody, whether you're an OSU Buckeye or a Grandview Bobcat, you know, our treatment protocols are the same. And then having some other tools to help us determine if a young athlete's brain is working again has really helped us just sort of level the playing field in terms of what they're telling us and what we think is really happening.
Stevie Carzu, the kids can slip through even though you've caught them at the sidelines and they may pass your test. You might still pull them out. What about parents immediately after that game, that night, that sort of thing? What should they be checking on just to double check?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, we do have kids who don't say anything and then they go home and then mom and dad notice that they really don't seem like themselves. They maybe have a little bit of a glazed over look. They're complaining of that headache. They're complaining they're sick to their stomach. They're nauseous. They're dizzy. You know, the parents need to start asking questions then. Well, when did this start? Did this start after you got hit in the head in the game? And then if they think that, okay, this is a concussive injury, obviously keeping an eye on them, making sure that there's none of those warning signs like we mentioned and that are also in our toolkit materials, and then contacting the child's physician or athletic trainer. They need to be evaluated by a medical professional because the last thing we want is for that student athlete to show up the next day, get back into gym class, get back into practice, and then be hit again and be at risk for worse, post-concussion syndrome or for second impact syndrome.
And Dr. Pommering, is this something when you talk about getting them to a doctor, bring them to an emergency room? If they wake up that night at 2:00 in the morning and they're feeling nauseated, do you get them to an emergency room right away?
Well, I definitely think if someone comes, if their status worsens over, a couple of hours after their injury, their headaches get worse, they start throwing up repeatedly, they become lethargic, confused, or just really completely out of sorts, those are definitely situations where we want the parents to either call 911 or get the child directly to the emergency department to make sure there's not a more serious injury. Now, luckily, most of the time, these end up, still just being a severe concussion, but things that we need to make sure is that they don't have a more severe brain injury or a brain bleed.
Dr. Pommering, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Thomas Pommering, he's director of sports medicine at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Also, Stevie Carzu, thanks for joining us, Stevie.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Stevie's a certified athletic trainer for Nationwide Children's Hospital sports medicine. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.